We're on? Okay. Well, good night, and welcome to Calvary Chapel. I've been wanting to say that for a little while. I think that's how Tim opens up every sermon that he's ever done here. Well, at least not good night. Sometimes it's good morning or good evening. But anyway, I've had a very eventful day today, I expected. And coming over here, it started off with my first phone call coming in from 977-666. In the ride over here, having a banner say, "Lean on Jesus," and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to lean on Jesus. So before we open up, I'm just going to read our first passage. So if, guys, you can open up to Judges chapter 14. I'm going to read the first verse, and then we'll go into prayer. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Father, thank you. Thank you for being so gracious with us. Thank you for your word, Lord Father. Thank you for its wisdom, Lord Father, its guiding power. Thank you for allowing us, Lord Father, the opportunity and the privilege to assemble freely here in this country, Lord Father. Thank you, Lord Father, that we can come here and just open up your word, Lord, and hear from you, Lord. I just ask, Lord Father, you empower my lips and anoint me tonight, Lord Father, that I be able to faithfully, Lord Father, deliver the message that you want for your people. Thank you, Lord Father, for this opportunity to just glorify you and just praise you for who you are and what you've done on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. So, Lord Father, we open up tonight with you in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, guys, this is a story of Samson. Or in Spanish, it would be Samson. And when I was a kid, the story of Samson always fascinated me because I think it was my mother's Spanish accent. She just made it interesting. Samson. Okay? And it's a tragic story, really. I mean, it's a story about a guy who had all of the God-given gifts and talents, but he lived a very ordinary, undisciplined life. And the one thing, as I look around, you know, I look around different churches and I go to different fellowships, and I've had the ability to be in different Christian organizations. The one thing that I've noticed in the Christian church is that we lack spiritual discipline. There's this, I don't know what it is, but there's this lack of spiritual discipline that doesn't allow us to walk the walk and talk the talk as Christ wants us to. All right? And because we don't have spiritual discipline, many of us have seen people walk away from the faith. And tonight, I'm going to talk about what I have come up with, or what the Lord has really imparted to me, and it's called tend. When we tend to walk away. And see, tend, if you're taking notes, it's going to be four very simple, yet poignant points and principles that if we don't do these things, we will follow the path to spiritual discipline. See, because the one thing that the Christian in this country and elsewhere, but especially in this country, that I've seen, we the modern believers need it the most, but it's the one thing we want the least. It's the one thing that we don't want anything to do with, but it's the one thing that we really truly need. And see, when I go and I've traveled to other countries, to Cuba, to El Salvador, to Guatemala, the one thing that I've been impressed with is not their simple faith, which is impressive nonetheless. It's just their discipline, their love for Christ, their want to know more about Jesus. And not saying that we don't have this in this country, because we do. Each and every one of you has got here at 7:30 to celebrate and to worship Christ tonight. So you're not who I'm talking about. But if you are, let the Lord just open your eyes and your hearts to receive this message. So here are the four simple points if you're writing notes tonight. Tend, when you tend to walk away. The T stands for temptation. The E stands for easing godly standards. The N stands for neglecting your spiritual condition. And the D, unfortunately, is your downfall. Because if you go down that road, eventually, your downfall is not too far away. See, and that's a story of Samson. He epitomized tend, when you tend to walk away from your faith. He's an example in the Bible that God put there for each and every one of us, so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes that this man of God made. And so, let's go in. The first verse says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. But before we can even go into verse 1, we got to know who Samson is. Who is he? Who is this guy? You know, many of us, you know, say, you know, we know the story of Samson. We got it. He's the strong dude, right? In the Bible, you know, the Atlas sort of guy. You know, but who is he? Who truly is this guy? So we have to understand the story to understand the man. And here's the story, if I can sum it up really quickly. Samson had a father named Manoah, right? And it's in chapter 13, if you guys want to go there. You can read it on your own. Tonight, I'll just summarize it for you. So Manoah, what does that mean? What's Manoah? Manoah means rest. And here's my question. As we enter tonight's sermon, are you at peace and are you at rest with God? See, because it was because of Manoah's rest that he was able to truly believe in God's promises, him and his wife, that God was going to bring the promise that he had promised them to fruition. And see, he had promised them something. He had promised them a son. And they had prayed for the son. We don't know how long they prayed. We have no idea. But we know that they faithfully prayed, him and his wife. And it's important to understand that this woman was barren. She couldn't have kids. All right? She was advanced in age. In fact, the story is so similar to the story of Elizabeth and Hannah. How many of us know Hannah? Hannah is Samuel's mom. And Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mom. And these women have very similar stories. Check it out. They all were barren. They all were advanced in age. And guess what? They all took a rite called the Nazarite rite, the vow of the Nazarites. Whoa! Like, when I was reading this, I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. What is that all about? What's his Nazarite? What is this? What are these masked men, I ask myself. Right? And it's like, man, the vow of the Nazarite, it just sounds cool. You know? It just sounds like something I want to do, but then I read it and I don't want to do it. Okay? So when you go, the vow of the Nazarite can be found in Numbers chapter 6. Okay, and it sums up like this. They were consecrated to God. They couldn't eat anything from grapes or fermented drinks. They couldn't cut their hair. Alas, Samson. And they couldn't come near anything that was dead. Basically, the three principles of the Nazarene. And see, to understand, to go even further into Samson, you've got to understand where he comes from. What's his lineage? Who's his people? Who is he? He comes from the tribe of Dan, the Danites. And you've got to understand the Danites. See, they were the largest of the tribes of Israel, right? They were mighty in number. Oh, but they were puny in strength. Mighty in number, but puny in strength. See, the Danites were supposed to conquer the lands of Timnah. That was theirs for the taking. And yet in Judges chapter 1, verses 34, and you can turn there if you want, it said that the Amorites kept them up in the hill country, didn't allow them to attack, and didn't allow them to take that land. And so the Danites, as many of us, if we're honest, myself, I know I do this, we're like, Lord, it's too tough. I'm just going to concede it. I'm going to just turn it over. You know, I'm satisfied right here. I don't need that portion. And so they conceded that land. And then you go even further, right? So that's the context, right? He's a Danite, all right, who were supposed to take over all this land, okay? They're the largest group. And here's his mom and his dad praying. They're saying, Lord, give us someone. And here the angel of the Lord himself, Jesus Christ himself, our God, the great I Am, shows up on the scene and says, I've heard your prayers. Do you know that God's listening to each and every one of us? Do you know that whatever your prayer is, do you know that he hears us in a way that we don't even know? And that he hears every cry. And although the answer to your prayer may linger, it will come. You know, at the Home Fellowship Group, we're doing Habakkuk. And the lesson last time around was exactly that. That answer is just around the corner if you wait. Keep praying. Keep striving. And see, and that's what we learn from Manoah and his wife. They kept praying. They kept striving. They kept getting on their knees and asking God. They were persistent. They were knocking on that door. And that's just an example for us and the things that we need in our life. You know, are we going to God like, oh Lord, I really just want this stuff? Are you going boldly before the throne? See, these people went boldly. They didn't cower and say, oh, no, I'm not going to ask God because he's not going to do it. He can't do it. He's not going to hear me. No. That wasn't their attitude at all. They went boldly before the throne. And God granted them a special delivery. You know, no storks. You know, we believe in storks bringing down a little baby. No. He brought them a special delivery. And beyond that, he blessed them so much, because that special delivery would be a special deliverer for the people of Israel. You know, we hear the story of Samson and we think downfall immediately, right? But he ruled Israel for 20 years. Do you understand that? God used this man mightily, as he can use each and every one of us mightily. You know, so when we go there, I look at Samson as a man unlike us. This is a man consecrated. This is a man who was set apart. This is a man who was set apart from the very beginning. So if I can say, he was a notch a little bit above us spiritually. So if he was a notch a little bit above us spiritually and he fell, what does that say to us? It says that we are also capable of falling if we go down this path. And let's start there. My first point. This all brings me to my first point, temptation. So let me read it again. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." You know, it's so funny because Timnah, if you remember, I was talking to you about the Danites. Timnah means allotted portion. That's what the actual town's name means, allotted portion. All right? And isn't it funny that there are things that God promised us? There are portions that God wants for our lives. And yet we say, "No, Lord, we don't want that. We want that. We want something else." Because we think we know more than God. Because we think we know what we need. And see, our eyes lead us to thinking that we need something else that we don't need. That makes any sense. You know, it's so funny, you know, as I think, here's this man consecrated, a mighty warrior of God. And yet, his eyes led him somewhere it shouldn't have. See, Timnah was only 4 miles away. 4 miles away from Judah. 4 miles. But those were the longest 4 miles that Samson ever walked. And so many of us, unfortunately and sadly enough, are on the path to Timnah. We're walking those 4 miles. We're marching down that path. We're just strolling, not thinking anything's wrong. Woo! We're going down to Timnah. Woo! We're going to party. We're going to have a good time. What happens in Timnah stays in Timnah, right? Some of us say here in this country, right? And we're going down there and we're having a fabulous time walking down to Timnah. If that's where you're at, I just have one word: stop. If you're finding yourself walking to Timnah, cut it out. Turn back. It's not too late. Because if you go continue down that road and you don't stop, I don't know what will happen. You know, unfortunately, in my life, I allowed certain things to take and become the Timnahs in me. See, I grew up lucky, really. My dad, my mother, had walked Timnah and didn't want me to walk Timnah. They had become believers. They had raised me and my brothers in a Christian home. We're even leaders in our church, you know? They're the people that people went to for prayer. You know, they're the people who, when the pastor said, "If anyone needs prayer, come to Mr. Santiago. He's over here," all right? They were that. And yet, unfortunately, you know, as many prayers as they prayed for me, I decided to go down to Timnah. And I remember one time my mom sat me down. She was real upset. If you know Puerto Rican women, woo, you know, be careful. All right? She was godly, but she could get a temper too. And she said, "I don't understand you." But this was all in Spanish, but I'm going to do the English version. "I don't understand you. What is it about you?" And I said, "What?" She said, "What is it about you? What does God have to do to get your attention?" And I said to her, I remember the famous words. She reminds me all the time. She says, I said, Mom, I just love the world. And I'm not willing to give it up. And my mom said, I was shocked. She said, at least you're truthful. See, Samson's eyes, the lust of his eyes led him down a path that he knew better. I let the lust of my eyes lead me down a path that I knew better. But see, if your eyes are leading you down a path, or anything is leading you down a path towards Timnah, stop. See, it's not only the eyes. We know what we're talking about. The largest thing in the Christian community, especially for guys, is internet porn. Surprise! Woo, right? That's not very surprising. It's dead wrong. And in fact, statistics have been made. When there's a pastors' conference in cities, the porn industry relishes that. Because the sale of porn goes up, quadruples, in those hotel rooms. These aren't regular folks like us, I guess commoners. These are pastors. See, that's what we need to stop and cut out. Sin. What's your Timnah? Ask yourself, really, what's your Timnah? Ask yourself, what is it? And cut it out. You know, let us not deceive ourselves. You know, some people who say, you know, Sal, what are you talking about? Come on, you're being a little hard. No, I'm being truthful, and I have to give you the word of God. I gotta say it like it is. Okay, I'm not trying to be hard for hard's sake. That's not why I'm up here. And it's not the word I don't believe that God gave me because, you know, I want to be this hard bashing guy. I'm not. If you know me, if you know my nature, I'm not that. I'm all about laughs and having a good time, except when it comes to the Word of God. Okay? And the Word of God says this. See, you think that God is tempting you? He's not. 1 John, James chapter 1, 13 through 15, read like this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, here, by his own desires. Here, by his own desires. He is dragged away and enticed. Sin, when is full grown, gives birth to death. Guys, we walk down. No one drags us. No one forces anything into our mouths. No one forces us to do anything that we don't want. And the Bible is clear about that. So that's our first point, temptation. Recognize it. Point two, easing God's standard. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Because this is clearly painted here. It says, his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Easing godly standards. I'm not sure how many parents we have in here. And if you're not a parent, you're going to hopefully be a parent soon or at some point in your life. Okay? And this is really about parents and what it means to be a parent. All right? A parent doesn't mean you give in to your kids. That's not being a parent. A parent doesn't mean when your son asks for something that you know it's going to hurt them, that you give in to them. That's not being a parent. You know, I hear so many parents, it's so funny, you know, I hear so many parents, oh, you know, my kids, you know, they're getting grown up. I'm going to let them make their own decisions. You know, they have to come to their own understanding of God. What, can I ask you, what Bible are you reading? Because when I read this word, it doesn't say that. What Bible is that? Show me. Because the Word of God says, okay, the Word of God is very clear. It says, train a child in the way he will go, right? In the way he should go. And when he is old, he won't turn away from it. See, but you're like, Sal, but what do we teach him? What do we train him? What do we do? What do you do? What do you do? Here's what you do. See, Deuteronomy, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to show you something from this. And we'll go right into verse 18. And verse 18 says, fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Listen to this. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. Talking to them when you sit at home. Whoa. That means no TV, no clicker. Nothing in the TV is talking about Jesus. All right? Very few. Maybe the vegetarians, if you toss them in there. Okay? But very few things. All right? Talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you walk along the road, when you lay down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord swore to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Guys, parents, we may not have parents, like I said, in here, but there are parents on the internet. If you're listening, the foolishness needs to cut out. This whole thing, oh, my son and daughters have to come to their own understanding. That's not biblical. I can't find it, and you won't find it either. You know, sit down with your kids. Love them. Talk to them. Care for them. Many of you may know this. Many of you may not. I've been praying for my nephew, Mark, for a long time. And it's emotional, so I'm going to try to brace myself here. My nephew, Mark, brought up in a Christian home, 16 years old. He thinks he knows everything about life. He is giving my parent, my brother and my sister-in-law a time of their life, and it's not fun. And I remember going down, and he calls me Theo Lecture, and Theo means uncle in Spanish, right? Theo Lecture. You know, and because I give him a lecture every time I go down there, you know, Lord loves you, you know, turn around, you know, the old lecture's coming, all right? So this time I try to outsmart him, all right? I try to outsmart him. I told my brother I'm not going to give him a lecture. I'm just going to love him. And I went down this Christmas. I gave him a nice gift, and I wrote him a card. And it was the hardest card I ever had to write. And I wrote in the card, Mark, you don't know Jesus. Mark, but Jesus loves you. And he wants to know you. The question is, do you want to know him? And to tell someone that you love and you saw as a baby, that you were there in that delivery room, that if they died that day, that you don't know whether or not they would be with the Lord was the hardest thing I ever had to say to him, but he needed to hear it. And see, here, Manoah and his wife, going back to the text, had an opportunity to tell Samson, "Are you absolutely out of your mind? We won't do such a thing as to hook you up with the uncircumcised." See, they knew better. They knew that they could not intermarry. It was already told. God told them, you can't marry them. And they had an opportunity to stop it right there. No way. And yet they didn't. They chose to look the other way. And that really speaks to being lax as parents. You know, my dad, as many of you know, is not a very lax man. Man, between whoopings of cords and chasing around and yelling, he was a sergeant in the military. He's a pretty tough guy, I have to say. He was very stern, and still is to this very day. He's just stern. He just says it like it is. He doesn't try to mince words. He just tells it. I remember when we were a little kid, me and my brothers, you know, we would try to be good. We would try to do all the right things, and he would just tell us, you know, that you're not. And we walked away, many of us, you know, myself, my brothers walked away for a little bit, came back much earlier than I did. And throughout the whole time, my dad was very honest with me. You're going to hell. And I would be like, thanks, Dad. I love you too. Thank you. Welcome. You know? But you know, I appreciate my dad. I appreciate my dad much more now than I did back then. And I appreciate Pastor Tim, because I remember when I first came, I had a problem with my dad. And Tim said, just love him. Just love him. And so I did. And he was unbearable and incorrigible. But I loved him anyway. And over time, I think it was that he really thought me coming back to God was a fake thing. He didn't really buy it at first. He thought I was playing him, you know. The little kids say, are you playing me? You know, I think he thought I was playing him. I was playing the Christian role, as many of us sometimes do. And he was waiting me out, you know. And then when he started seeing some real fruit, he was like, okay, I'll talk to you now, you know. But I appreciate him. That brings me to the third point, neglecting spiritual conditions. That's verses 5 and 6, if we can read. And it says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father, nor his mother what he had done. I'm going to call this, there's a three steps in neglecting your spiritual condition. Three steps. The first one is walking in the vineyard, what I call walking in the vineyard. The second one is partaking in sinful behavior. And the third one is sitting at the table or the seat of the wicked. So the first one, walking in the vineyard. Man, this guy's a Nazarite. He couldn't be around grapes. He couldn't. And he's walking in the vineyard. He's just playing around. You know, he's playing around in the vineyard. He's a Nazarite. You know, how many of us are playing around with sin? How many of us are playing around in the vineyard? How many of us know it's sinful behavior, yet we want to be there? You know, and it's not surprising, guys. It's not surprising that the lion came out and attacked him. You know, Satan's compared to a lion by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, he's compared to a lion. He's compared to a lion that prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You know, just yesterday I got a phone call, you know, and someone was telling me about a situation. I said, hey, this is a spiritual battle. This isn't a battle against flesh and blood. This is a battle for our souls. See, this was a battle for Samson's soul. The roaring lion came out of nowhere. It doesn't say where it came from. It just said it came out. And he was able to defeat it. But you know what? Like some of us, we're able to defeat the enemy through God's power, through God's might. Because, see, the power came from God. It empowered Samson to fight off that enemy. And, see, the power comes to us, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to fight the enemy. But if you keep playing around in the vineyard, if you keep messing around with sin, it may not. Second, verse 7, partaking in sinful behavior. Check this out. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. You know, a lot of yous would probably be like, all right, well, what's the partaking in sinful behavior? He just talked to her. See, nowadays, you know, it's so funny, you know, being a single in this church, you know, we do a lot of talking, you know. We talk, you know. Everyone's talking, everyone's checking each other out, you know. Is she my wife? Is he my husband? You know, ooh, he's cute. Ooh, she's cute, you know. Ooh, I like that, you know. Woohoo! You know, you're all over the place, all right? And I'm all over the place too, okay? I'm including myself in there too. And it's so funny, you know, in ancient culture, you couldn't just, and I'm going to use the colloquial here, you couldn't just step to a girl, all right, and be like, hey, girl, what's up? My name is Samson. What's your name? You know, it didn't happen like that. You couldn't do that, all right? You know what this tells me? You know what this is? Sin. See, Samson already knew who she was. He had already done something with her. That's why he could go to her and talk to her. We don't know what he did. You know, I don't know. But I know from the context and understanding the culture of that time that he knew her and he talked to her, and that was inappropriate. You know, it's funny, and this is one of the things that, you know, that I can see and I can sense real quickly here is, you know, he just came from a spiritual victory, right? He just, you know, the lion attacked, he tears him apart, right? And he's like, he, you know, in one single swoop, I could just imagine, you know. And then all of a sudden, he sees this woman. He's like, oh, girl, you know, what's up? You know, and he just falls. And it's the funniest picture in the world, but it's the saddest picture. How, you know, that speaks of us. You know, we have these spiritual moments where we're just like, in the, you know, on the mountaintop. Ah, you know, ooh, nothing can go wrong. And then right after that, immediately, the devil comes right after us. And man, he just tears us down. You know, it just reminds me of, you know, Apostle Peter. You know, God says, you know, who do they say I am? And he's like, oh, the Son of God, you know. And God's like, amen, you know, that wasn't revealed to you. You know, it must have been revealed by my Father. And, you know, I could just see Peter. He's like, yeah, I knew who he was. And moments later, not too soon later, he's like, get behind me, Satan. And not too long after that, he was denying Christ. You know, it reminds me of Joshua, the mighty Joshua. You know, like, you know, he's like, yeah, Lord, lead us in battle. He goes around, blah, 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 7 days, you know, Jericho comes down, the walls are coming down. He goes in and conquers it. The next time around, I got this, Lord. I'm going to send out 3,000 men. We're going to conquer AI. You know, and the funny thing is, you know what AI means? Ruin. Ruin. And that's exactly what happened to Joshua, because he didn't pray and he didn't trust God to fight his battles. He thought he could, he thought he had the strength to do it on his own. And he fell to ruin. So much so that he tore up his clothes. Like, Lord, you brought us out here to die? No, Joshua, we didn't bring you out there to die. And he found out that it was Achan who has sin, a national sin. You know, those are the things. We can contaminate people around us. See, the other thing that you have to see is when he was playing around in that vineyard, did you notice that he didn't tell his parents? Isn't that us? Like when we sinning, man, when I was in high school and college, and unfortunately not too far, you know, in the past, you know, when I was doing some wrong things, boy, I didn't want anyone to know. And I would be like, keep it on the down low, don't say anything. You know, this is between me and you, no one needs to know, you know. And I remember when I first got into accountability, and, you know, accountability, so what are you doing this week, you know, and just pray for me, you know, private prayers, you know, all that stuff, and you know, anything going on, no, nothing's going on, I'm good, you know, nothing, you know, I'm good, you know, what are you talking about, how about, and people be like, are you doing it, and no, that's not me, maybe it's you, and you should pray on it, brother, but that's not me. And we have these private sins. And if I can encourage you from the book of John, chapter 11, and it's a story of Lazarus. You know, when Martha came out to God, you know, to Jesus Christ on the road, and he got there, he told Martha, roll back that stone. You don't think God could have done that? You don't think Jesus could have rolled back the stone? No, he could have. But see, it really signifies one thing. It's our responsibility to roll back the stone. Yeah, because you know what her reply was? Lord, are you sure? He's been in there for a long time. It's going to stink. And he says, don't worry about the stink. Roll back the stone. So brothers and sisters, roll back the stone. Don't worry about the stench. Don't worry about what other people may say about you. Worry about what God says about you. And get healed. Get resurrected. Because that's what happened to Lazarus. The stone was rolled back. That stench came out. He was healed. He was restored. And he was resurrected from the dead. Just like you and I are resurrected from the dead. You know, and then Samson. Let's read on. Let's go 8 through 10. And it says, sometime later when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. I've already touched on the tainting, the contaminating of others with your sin. See, like I said, right, he's a Nazirite. He's not supposed to touch anything dead. And there he goes. He goes back and he scoops up the honey. You know? It may look great. It may even taste sweet, sin. You know? That honey was in a dead thing, and it looked appetizing, just like sin looks appetizing to us. But it's sin. It's dead. It'll lead to your death. And see, he contaminated his parents. He continued to not tell them where he got this stuff from or what's going on, and that's what we do. Our sin, we think it's just us. No. Your sin affects me, affects the person next to you, affects your parents, affects your family. It affects all of us. We're a body in Christ. You know, just like your body, if you have cancer, takes you out, that's exactly what sin takes us out as a body. You know, I've known many brothers. You know, I deal with, you know, as director of men's ministry, I've known brothers that their sin has just taken them out. And you know how much it grieves me and it hurts me? It just hurts me to know that. But here, if you missed it, in verse 10 it says, look, check this out. He says, Samson made a feast. Woo! He made a feast. Listen, guys. You know, Psalms 1 says this, and I'll read it for you. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the ways of the sinner, or sits in the seat of mockers. You know, a feast is a feast. They were getting down. They were getting funky with it, whatever you want to call it. They were drinking. They were partying. They were revering. They were doing debauchery, whatever it is. And there he is. He's a Nazirite. He's not supposed to drink. He's not supposed to drink. There are some flowing wine, I'll tell you that. You know, and there he is. He's just sitting down with sinners. Look how sin, you know, it took him from like playing around in the vineyard, you know, starting to touch a little bit in the sinful behavior. And now he's like, you know what, I might as well just sit down and enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy my sin. I'm going to sit down and plop myself down and I'm going to just do it. And he's just neglecting his spiritual condition. You know, let's read through quickly. And I'm just going to touch on a few points in the riddle, because that's not really what I want to emphasize tonight, but I do want to touch on a few points, and it goes like this, and starting in verse, I'm going to read verse 11 all the way through 19, and it says, when he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us the riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they couldn't give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we'll burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? You know, I would say something about the women in this at this point, but I get myself in trouble enough with that, so I'll move on, right? And he says, then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told them the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, he replied. So why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. That must have been the most miserable 7 days he ever lived. All right? If any of you have been around a woman who cries, it's bad. All right? And to make a woman cry for 7 days, you know it's real bad, right? So, on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She turned, in turn, explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, if you do not plow with my heifer, that was his wife, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Acklon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle, burning... Okay, right there. You know, it's so funny, you know. This is us. This the woman, she describes the church. You know, isn't that how we are with God? We just sob and sob. We cry, Lord, give us the answer. We want answers. We want them now. Do you love us? Do you love us? Look, you brought us here. You know, it's me. I've done it. I've been there. You know, if I were the Lord, I would smack myself. You know, if there was a divine hand that came down and smacked me, I wish he would have done it. And he's done it in different ways. But here's the one thing that impressed me. Look at the latter part of verse 19. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. And that's where I'm going to leave us tonight. Burning with his anger, he went to his father's house. See, the funny thing here, it's not that funny, is that he saw a woman, he was tempted. He started easing his standards. He started neglecting his spiritual condition. And the Lord allowed these things to happen to him, to bring him to a point of surrender, a point where he said, you know, it's not worth it. And see, he burned with righteous anger at his own sin. And what did he do? He returned to his father's house. Wow. He turned around from his sin and he went to his father's house. Guys, if any encouragement, if you get anything from tonight, you can go back to your father's house. He's there. He's just waiting for you to come, to embrace you, to love you, to care for you. He just wants, he died on that cross for us. Samson knew where to turn. He turned to his father's house. He just went back. He ran. You know, I think about the cross. And I think about that song that Russell sings, you know, he rescued me. I cried and he answered. You know, we cried. We can cry and he answers. Turn back. Don't go down to Timnah. See, Samson, unfortunately, didn't learn. Even though God gave him an opportunity to turn back, God gave him an out, an escape. He didn't learn. He continued in his sin. And his sin eventually caused him to lose his eyes, to be imprisoned. But, you know, it would be a bad thing, you know, to just leave you there, right? That would be a bummer of a sermon, you know. I have a friend who tells me, and he's here tonight, and he says, you can never leave people with a bum message, you know. And here's the great message. This is the great, great message. Despite all of that, you know, he went back, he continued sinning. You know, Samson grew back his hair. The Bible says he grew back his hair where his strength was. And I don't know how the Lord hid it. I don't know how it happened, because they knew his hair is where his strength came from. But somehow his hair grew back. And he was able to ask God for one more chance. And God gave it to him. And he had a great victory. You know, you have a chance. Your hair can grow back. Unless you're like me, it won't grow back. But your hair will grow back. And see, if this is an encouragement, this is another encouragement. The book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, he was in the hall of faith, you know, that big hall of faith we think about, you know, Hebrews 11. Samson's named in it as a man of righteousness and a man of faith. And the book of Hebrews says this, whose weakness, his weakness, his sin, was turned to strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord Father, for tonight. Lord Father, I just ask, Lord Father, if we're walking to Timnah, Lord Father, that we turn back. Lord Father, if there's something that's hindering our walk with you, Lord, if there are things in our life, Lord Father, we need to rid ourselves of and surrender and put down at your feet, Lord Father, I ask that you do that in us, Lord, that when we stand before you, Lord, we can say that our weakness was turned into strength, Lord, that we can say to ourselves, our hair grew back because of your righteousness. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for everyone here, Lord, that you take them home safely, Lord, and that your word just sit on their hearts and you do your work in them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well...